Morning, bore da. So today's reading is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning from me. It's lovely to be back home. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I was thrilled when Pastor Dave gave me this subject to speak on this morning. Why desire the Holy Spirit? Well, I've got a quote from Charles Spurgeon. You may like to read it with me. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire. We are useless. No, I don't believe that you're useless, but spiritually, supernaturally, we can never achieve anything of real spiritual consequence without his Spirit. Now, I've got a... Isn't that a useless-looking glove? But, you know, it is useful when there's a hand inside of it. And I just use that as a simple illustration. We are as useless as this pathetic glove until we are filled with him, the Holy Spirit. And it's God's plan, purpose, and provision for every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to begin, you got the imperative on the wall there, be filled with the Spirit. Are you this morning filled with the Spirit? If not, I suggest that we pause for a moment and breathe deeply and breathe in the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you, I need to be filled. I need the anointing of the Spirit. So do you. Not only to preach it, but to hear it. To receive it. To be affected by it. The most fundamental reason why we should desire these gifts of the Holy Spirit is that the Bible commands us to. As I've just said, it is God's plan, purpose, and provision that every believer should be filled consciously, conspicuously, and continuously by the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you, have you ever been filled? There'd be some great stories you tell me. When my parents lived in Wenlow, they had a neighbor there. Every time we approached my parents, he saw me coming, knowing I was a minister, and he was, have I ever told you when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the city temple? I said, yes, but when was that? Oh, 50 years ago, he said. I said, but are you today filled? You've got some great stories. I know some of your stories. How great they are. But we need to be filled today, don't we? So breathe deeply and don't miss out on it. You know, I've been a student of revival all my ministry. And I'm one of those few people to have actually witnessed, experienced revival when I saw a whole community in Sri Lanka being one for Christ in a night. I mean, that is supernatural, isn't it? What we need is revival. But I tell you what, there's never been a revival outside the experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be part of something new, a new movement of renewal and pray God revival, we must make sure that we are continually and conspicuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Why desire the Holy Spirit? Because it brings glory to God. And only when we're really filled with the Holy Spirit do we fulfill our potential in God. You will receive power. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Lionel Fletcher was an evangelist in Australia. He was preaching in the outback regularly to miners. And on one occasion, there was a crowd gathered during their lunch break for him to preach to them. And he couldn't see the back, so he said, "Can you bring me a box, please, to stand on?" And someone brought a box of dynamite. Dynamite written on the side. He said, "We don't only need dynamite underneath my feet, we need dynamite amongst us today." How true that is every time the people of God come together. We know that Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, but we can only guess what the Corinthians wrote to Paul. In chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, that Judith read to us beautifully this morning, Paul is obviously working through a list of questions that they've addressed to him. It seems as though the Holy Spirit was newly at work among them. But it was so powerful that they were having difficulty in handling the gifts and the consequences and the effects of the gifts being released amongst them. Paul will evidently tell them what to do so that the power of the Spirit is used in a way which glorifies God. But however, like all good teachers, before he tells them to change their ways, he seeks to change the way that they think, how important that is. And these 11 verses that were read to us this morning, we have three attitudes that need to be embraced by me and by you if we're to experience, to know the real work of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, we must know the real person. Look at chapter 12 again, those first three verses. Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. What did I say? And he gives personal gifts to all believers. Just because something is supernatural, however, doesn't necessarily come from the Holy Spirit. If you're ever in doubt about whether some phenomena is the action of the Holy Spirit, look at the lives of those people involved. Is there motivation that Jesus should be seen as Lord? Not only what they say, but the way that they live. And the church of Corinth was not the last place where free gifts caused confusion. I was reading recently about a controversy that arose over the labelling of a coin in the Roman Fort Museum at South Shields in County Durham. This coin was exhibited as a Roman sesterce coin dating from approximately AD 135. It took the archaeological skills of a 9-year-old girl, Miss Fiona Gordon, to observe that the coin had been wrongly identified. She pointed out that it was, in fact, a grey plastic token which had been given away as a free gift by a soft drinks company in exchange for saving up the labels of their bottles. She had an identical one that she was able to show them. Fiona pointed out that the provenance of the coin was made clear by the firm's trademark impressed on the reverse side. The museum curator admitted that they had indeed mistaken the replica for the real thing. He explained that the decorative R, which he thought stood for Rome, was actually Robinson's. And there is something familiar about that in today's passage. We recognize where the gifts come from by the trademark of the giver. So when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are evident, and please God, may they be today, I'd love to see that, in a congregation of God's people, we have to ask, do they glorify God? Do they glorify the Father? Do they glorify Jesus? Do they glorify the Holy Spirit? Does it edify believers? Are we built up by the use of the gifts? Or we pull down because we concentrate on what it does for us? We must know the real person. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And it's God's desire for everyone here today to be filled again with his precious Holy Spirit. But not only must we know the real person, we need to know the real power. And I want you to notice three words in verses 4 through to 7. About there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And I'm highlighting those three words that emphasize that there's no room for show-offs in the body of Christ. Also reveal where the power is revealed. The first word is gifts in verse 4. The second is the word service in verse 5. And the third is the word working in verse 6. They all have this in common. They all have to do with God. So notice the gifts of God. You will know the word charismatic. I'm proud and humbled at the same time to be a charismatic. Because the word here, used here, is the word charismata, where we get the word charismatic from. By using the word charis, grace, the emphasis is here. The gifts of God are God's free gifts of grace. We don't get them because we deserve them, but we do have to desire them. Have you got that? The gifts of God's grace. If God uses you to bring healing to people, hallelujah. But it's God that does the healing. All the gifts are in God. And when we need them, we draw down. When we need to speak in tongues. And I would that you, Paul says, and I'm saying it too, I would that you all spoke in tongues. But when we speak in tongues, it is to the glory of God. I know that when I don't know what to pray for, as I hope Paul says, I speak with a language that I don't understand. That's what I do. That's what we do when we pray in tongues. We're praying in this unknown language that God understands. And God interprets them as he wants. If I can preach, it's by the gift of God. Some are called with this gift. And we give God the glory because they're all gifts of God's grace. And the second word that he uses is service, the service of God. There are different kinds of service. The word here is deacon. How many of you are deacons here? I mean, I'm not just asking. I mean, the word deacon is servant. So we're not just talking about those that have been appointed as elders or deacons. We should all be deacons because we're all called to be servants. That was a trick question. How many of you are deacons? We're all called to serve. And the word deacon actually means an eagerness to serve. Are you eager to serve? Are you falling over each other, wanting to serve? Spiritual selfishness is a real contradiction in terms. But the condition is too present in the modern church. So often, we have our own idea of what our perfect church would be. And we go to a church, but it fails to live up to what we think a church should be. So we go off and look for another one. That is so often the case. Spiritual gypsies, they're called. There is no such thing as a perfect church. If there was, I would never join it, because all of a sudden it would not be the perfect church. Because who amongst us is perfect? But by the grace of God, we are what we are. So there's the gifts of God, there's the service of God. And then the third word he uses is the word working, the working of God. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women. And the word working is the word energy. It's our English word energy. The power in the church comes from God, who is the generator. Adapting the metaphor, the body reacts to the stimuli sent out by the head. I had the privilege recently to visit Colin Griffiths, Margaret's lovely son. And he is a lovely, lovely man. And you know, he's paralyzed and has been for many, many years. And it's a devastating condition. Do you know what's equally devastating? To find spiritual paralysis. When Christians, who should be able to work, to serve, to minister, are disabled by one reason or another. I just feel that we need to have the authority sometimes with Jesus to speak to those withered arms, those withered limbs, and say, "Behold, let the body of Christ work as it should." Thus the gifts of the Spirit remain within the control of the Lord Jesus, who is the baptizer. Gifts are not residual in us. All the gifts are in Christ. And when we need a gift for whatever reason, to serve, to minister, we reach into Christ and we draw it down. If you're called to do something that you feel that you're not up to, you don't say, "I can't." You say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we reach into Christ and we draw down the reserves, the gifts and the graces that we need to do it. Never forget that Jesus is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And oh, how often I've said it in this place. I said it already this morning. It's God's plan, purpose and provision for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that before we leave the chapel today, we'll make sure that we're going out filled again with His Holy Spirit. Some people say, "I've got the gift of healing." I wish they wouldn't say that. If God has used you graciously to bring healing to someone, praise God. But I don't believe you've got the gift of healing. I believe Jesus is the healer. And as we need to pray for healing, we reach into Him. And we draw down from Him the ability to pray healing in people's life. I'm not splitting theological hairs here. I want to put the emphasis on the body of Christ. All the gifts of God are in Christ. And they're available in the body of Christ so that as and when we need to use them, we reach into Him and we use them. And oh God, release the gifts of Your Spirit in the church today. I preach in a different church every Sunday now. And I don't know many churches where the gifts of the Spirit are evident. Oh God, use Tabernacle to be the body of Christ, with all the gifts being released again. And when I say again, I'm not suggesting they're not. I'm just saying, do it again, Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a comment on Tabernacle. I don't know Tabernacle, although I've been a member these 50 years. I'm out of touch. But the gifts are here in the body of Christ. And we reach into him to use them. So we must know the real person. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. We've got to know him. We've got to know the person of the Holy Spirit working our own lives. Then we've got to release the power by desiring the gifts. And finally, we need to know our real place. Do you know your place in the body of Christ? That's what I'm asking. You know the gifts. The gifts we have, Romans chapter 12. Go home and read them if you don't. Familiarize yourself again with them. Then the gifts that we seek in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're not familiar? Go home and familiarize yourself. And then the gifts that God gives. Apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. That's in the prerogative of God to raise those people up. But hear this. There are no spectators. There's no room for spectators in the body of Christ. We've got a place. Each of us has got a God-designed place in the body of Christ. And our responsibility is to know it. Paul gives some representative examples of what he has in mind. It's no good being jealous of what someone else is able to contribute because God has arranged that everyone's contribution is different. But no one gift makes us more superior than another. We come to Calvary to know Christ. And we come back to Calvary over and over. And Calvary is level ground. We're all the same at Calvary. We all need his forgiveness. We all need more grace. It's Calvary that we come to know more of his grace. We may pray for particular gifts and we're encouraged to. Seek earnestly, Paul says. Seek earnestly the best gifts. What are the best gifts? The gifts that glorify God through your life and ministry. Every situation that you're in, God has a gifting for you to help you be what he wants you to be and to do what you want to be. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Oh, how great it's been to hear that now word spoken. God puts a word on your heart to speak into a meeting. And all of a sudden, it witnesses with someone in that meeting. I needed to hear that. I'm looking around the congregation. I'm glad to say there's some I don't know here today. But most I do know. And I know the way that God has used some of you to bring a word in season, that prophetic word, that tongue with an interpretation. God has used you. God, do it again to your glory. The question I'm asking you this morning is, what is your gifting? Have you discovered your place in the body of Christ? There's no room for spectators in the body of Christ. God has a gift for every one of us. God has a calling on all of our lives. And we need to discover our basic gift. If you say, what is your basic gift? Then go to Romans chapter 12. Sometime today, read Romans chapter 12 and read the basic gifts. When you know your basic gift from Romans chapter 12, then you can go to 1 Corinthians 12 and you can earnestly desire the spiritual gift that will best enhance that basic gift. Oh, the body of Christ needs to wake up. I'm not just talking here, I'm talking everywhere to see the gifts of God being released again in the body of Christ. With the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, We have powerful potential. You know what we are? We are the body of Christ. Tell me what you are. The body of Christ. And all the gifts of God is in Christ. And as we need to move and to speak as the body of Christ, then we reach into Him and we draw down what we need. Many Christians try to force God to go in a direction that they want to go, rather than finding God's basic purpose for their life and seeking that, so that He's free to think in us, to love in us, and act in us the way that He seems best. So, I'm coming to an end. Hallelujah, they say. But not without asking a few questions. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you don't, you're lost. And will be for eternally lost. God save you today, if not before. And then, are you filled with the Spirit now? Tell me by all means about the wonderful experiences that you've had in the past. But I'm interested about now. Are you now? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled now with the Holy Spirit? Up in the balcony, I'm not ignoring you. You too need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Oh, I look around, I know so many of you, and I know the experiences that you've had in the Holy Spirit. Thank God for it. But God's got a plan and a purpose for you now. He wants you to be filled now again with His Holy Spirit. I won't tell you this, how often you, those of you that know me have heard me say this, to the measure that your life is yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, to that same measure you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you got that? Jesus is Lord, we say, but is He Lord? Lord over every area of your life, over your relationships, over your work, over your church. To the measure that Jesus is Lord in your life, to that same measure you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, fill us all again. And if you don't know what your gift is, there are leaders in the church here. There are gifted people here that would love to help you discover your gift and your place in the body of Christ. Isn't that right, leaders? Wouldn't you like to help people discover their place? They'd be here this morning. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to be filled afresh this morning, then I'm sure there'll be leaders that will gladly come and sit in these front rows, and you can come and sit by them. And if the leaders have come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just ask someone else to pray with you. Because we all need to be filled again. And we need to know our place in the body of Christ. God bless you. It's been such a privilege to be back here again today. I love this place. I love the people of God here. If I don't know you, I'd love to get to know you. But God bless you. Let me pray. Open up your hearts. Open up your hands. Make this your prayer. Make this your prayer. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me now. Fill me, Jesus, with your blessed holy power. I'm yours, O Lord, to do with as you will. So fill me, Jesus, right now. If you're reminded to do so, pray it with me. I'll pray that phrase by phrase. You speak it out as a prayer. Fill me, Jesus. No one's going to pray it. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me now. Fill me, Jesus, with your blessed holy power. I'm yours, O Lord, to do with as you will. So fill me, Jesus, right now. Lord, I pray for a release of your Spirit amongst us today. I pray, O God, that you might, by your Spirit now, stir in our lives, move in our lives. Help us to stir up the gifts, Lord, that are in us by your Holy Spirit, and bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.